There is nothing wrong with your media player. Do not attempt to adjust the settings. I am now controlling the transmission. I control the recording and the editing. I can delude you with 1,000 vulgarities or expand one mindfuck into crystal clarity and beyond. Shape your listening experience into anything my imagination can conceive. I will control all that you think and hear. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the deepest inner mind to This Week in Geek's Outer Limits. Please stand by.
Going on. You're listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net's Nerd News Network. I'm one of your many hosts, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and I'm not alone as I trek through this week of news, spews, and everything else you can imagine. I'm joined with my compatriot from Kitchener.
Alex the producer, finally set up and, again.
Woo! And of course, the semi-destroyed yet has been rebuilt using superior technology.
We have the technology. We can rebuild me. I'm Mr. Christopher.
Woo! So
wait, shouldn't we just call you Gimplague from now on?
Mr. Yeah, Gimplague? Probably. I'm just going to be limping around for the next long time.
For the next forever.
Mr. Tristagimp.
Mr. Limpifer. No, let's not go there.
No. But anyway, guys, so like I said, we took off last week to celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving, so hopefully you and yours had a fantastic Canadian Thanksgiving, or if you are in the U.S. uncomfortably, hope you had a good Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, depending on how you wish to celebrate the holiday. We're not going to get into that thing because, well, how is this still a thing? Go look it up on John Oliver if you're so curious to know what the hell I'm talking about.
Exactly. And how about since we've had a couple weeks? Has it been 2 weeks or a week off, roughly?
About a week off.
Do you want? Maybe
we can change anyway.
We could just give an update on what we've all been doing and whatnot, just to fill in the gaps.
Yep. I myself have been doing a lot of writing for Terrible Warriors. I have about 4 or 5 different projects on the go right now, which we'll be recording between now and the new year's. We've got something very big coming up on TerribleWarriors.com, which should be premiering later on this week, which I'm very excited to not talk about just yet, but stay tuned on Friday for more information about that, hopefully. Other than that, I've been playing a lot of video games because it is Broketober, means I'll be looking at a few of the bigger titles. I'm actually, just as of this recording, just literally got South Park The Fractured Butthole, literally 5 minutes.
So bad. I want it
I got
so
it 5 minutes before this recording started, and I almost said, I want to get out of this so I can start it, but no, I'm not. So, all right, let's go to Tristan. You've had an exciting little bit.
Indeed. A couple of weeks ago, I was trying on a costume for a costume party a friend of mine was putting on, and while putting on the pants to this costume party costume, I took a strange step down in the change room that had no bench, And all of a sudden, my kneecap decided it didn't want to stay put anymore and slid off to the side. I collapsed. And a little while later, I was in the hospital with a dislocated knee, relocated it. And I've been off of work for quite some time since then. I had a new job opportunity lined up before this happened. Unfortunately, that job is a very physically demanding job. And so I have had to turn that opportunity down for the time being. Kind of sucks, but it's given me an opportunity now to kind of re-examine some priorities and figure out what's next for me. So I've been pretty busy in the meantime between phone calls and trying to set up orthopedic surgeon appointments, that sort of thing. Playing a lot of World of Warcraft, to be quite honest. But I've been pretty busy doing that and trying to figure out what's next for me.
As much as that sounds painful and it's horrible, it's still kind of funny.
It's absolutely hilarious that I managed to screw myself up this bad by putting on pants.
That was my entire thing was, you failed at putting clothes on and broke your body.
I can't even dress myself without obtaining a severe injury. There's something wrong with me.
How do you manage to fuck up putting pants on? That's what I want to know.
When I was 8 years old, I rolled out of my bed that was sitting directly on the ground and broke my arm.
You're like Mr. Glass.
It's insane.
All I can think of is you didn't watch enough Sesame Street. They told you how to put your pants on properly.
They put one on, or one in, one leg in and then the other or something.
Well, you put one leg in and you put the other one on the ground and break your leg, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, you put one leg in and then you throw your kneecap out and that's
precisely.
It.
Precisely, which is hilarious and horrific. Like, I feel bad for you. At the same time, I'm laughing on the inside and outside.
Oh, it's absolutely hilarious. I just wouldn't wish it on anyone.
No, absolutely not. I've thrown my shoulder out and it's horrible.
Yeah, I somehow managed to dislocate my left arm getting out of bed this past winter, so I guess I really can't complain either.
No, it sucks. It's funny once it's happened to you and you hear it happen to somebody else, but...
When it happens to you, you're like, oh dear God, why?
Sitting there on the ground, all I can think of is, oh crap, like everything's going to be ruined. I know I'm going to be out of commission for months. What the hell am I going to do now? But then I look back, I'm like, I was putting on pants, and I screwed myself up by trying to get dressed, and I have no excuses now.
And if it was going to happen, like, it obviously was just going to happen at some point in that case.
Exactly. I've thrown my kneecap out before. It's not the first time I've dislocated it, and once you've done it once, you're much more likely to do it again, but it's been years since the last time it's happened, so it wasn't even a thought that crossed my mind, and all of a sudden, boop, out it went, down I went, and it was over.
At least you did it with the lights on as opposed to the lights off.
Yes.
Just saying. Yes. And Alex, what about you, buddy?
Basically, my family's been in a transition state of my brother finishing up college and moving out. I had to get a new apartment, so I moved this past weekend, so I was in no way, shape, or form to record earlier, because it had been packing and moving, and I'm still trying to find all my audio equipment. I'm recording on a different mic, which may or may not sound worse. Probably sounds worse. Definitely sounds worse. But anyway, yeah, I've just been sort of adjusting to the new location. Just like 5 minutes before we started recording, I finally set up my computer desk. I would say the only plus amazing thing that's happened lately is I got a king-size bed, and it's glorious. I can lay down on it, and you could put another me beside me, and then probably somebody at the feet.
That does sound huge.
It's
glorious.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
But anyway, guys, we have a fantastic packed show for you. We have two interviews in the show. We're going to be talking with someone from Bandai Namco, talking about the newest Gundam game, which has come to the West, Gundam Versus, which came out about a week and a half ago on the 29th of September. And then we're also going to throw to an interview I did with someone over at Jolt Cola, which has come back to store shelves if you happen to live in the United States and potentially Canada. So we'll be talking about them later on. But first things first, we're going to start things off with a review. That's right, guys. I actually had the chance to check out the latest Nintendo game, Metroid: Samus Returns, on the new Nintendo 3DS. And this is the kind of Metroid kind of game that I've been looking forward to for quite some time. I never did play the original The Return of Samus, which was the original Metroid 2 on the original Game Boy, just because I never got that game. So having a chance to play this, which is more like Super Metroid than it is anything, it's like this... The game is 3D, but it's 2D, if that makes any sense. So that 2.5D, I guess, if you had to describe it in, if, like, anything. But basically, it's a soft reboot of the Metroid, of Metroid 2, I'd call it. You're still hunting down the Metroid. You still have to kill so many of them to wipe out the species. So this is technically still the prequel to Metroid 2. To Super Metroid. And it's a fantastic game that should take you anywhere between 10 to 15 hours to beat your first time through. There's a lot of cool gadgets. There's actually one thing which allows you to look for secrets in adjoining rooms and stuff like that. So if you want to make your game really, really, really easy, you can do that. I don't know what the speed run record for this game is, because I know each Metroid game tends to reward you for going through the game in less than so many hours. So I'm very curious to see what the actual kind of record is for that. You do get some pretty cool new moves. Your arm cannon now has a laser sight, several new attachments for it, one of them being, if I remember correctly, still the rapid fire. But one of the cooler things you can do is you can parry moves. If a monster moves in on you, you can hit a button at just the right time and knock the monster back, which does a little bit of damage. You can actually win boss fights using this thing, too, because usually you'll be getting your ass kicked, monster will come in for an attack, you hit the parry button at just the right time, and you can get a little bit of special energy back so you can power your other abilities and whatnot. The game looks gorgeous, like I said, especially for a handheld. You can look in the background, you can see, like, ancient ruins, there's, like, waterfalls, there's, like, these really cool crystal-looking cave things. It is kind of cool, though. Like, just the fact that they're able to put this intense of a Metroid game on a handheld, because this is the biggest map outside of the Prime games. So, if I were to say, in terms of rankings, which Metroid games I enjoy the most, I'd probably still go Metroid Fusion, just because I've got a real soft spot for the Fusion suit. I like this game a little bit more than Super Metroid, and that's saying something. So I'd go Fusion, Metroid, or Samus Returns, Super Metroid, and then probably the Prime Trilogy going just 1, 2, 3. I didn't much care for these. I like the second game more than the third, but just because I hate that stupid Dark World, but I digress. But no, seriously, Samus Returns is probably one of the must-own titles for the new 3DS, as I noticed less and less games are starting to come out for this system, and it's a lot better than Federation Force. The less we talk about that game, the better. And it's definitely nice to have a Super Metroid-style game on the console. So my recommendation is, yes, absolutely pick up Metroid Samus Returns. If you can, get the collector's edition, because you get a soundtrack CD, which is really cool. And if you reverse the cover of the game, it's the original Game Boy artwork. And that's something that I think is kind of cool. That should cost you an extra $10. Shouldn't be hard to look at your typical EB Games or GameStops or your Walmarts. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. And there are new amiibos which do unlock. I think you can actually unlock the Fusion suit, but I didn't open my amiibos for this because I'm an in-package amiibo collector. So can't tell you much more than that, but I know they do unlock something. So that's pretty much going to do it for my review of Metroid Samus Returns. Have either of you guys had a chance to actually try this out?
I got to be honest, I haven't played a Metroid game since Super Metroid, but since you mentioned it's a lot like Super Metroid, I might have to give it a try.
Absolutely, dude. I'll loan you my console.
My roommate has it, so I may sneak it.
It's totally worth it. Like I said, it's nice to play a Metroid that isn't the weird 3D ones where it's like almost like Metroid meets Halo. I prefer these type of Metroids, like the like 2D or 3.5D or
it's like
whatever
an isometric thing, or.
No, it reminds me of other M without the crap shooting sections.
So basically, it's 3D models and background, but on a 2D plane?
Yes, yes.
Sort of
like it's basically
like,
Super Metroid.
Like Street Fighter did, right? Like, but only...
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, like I said, it's fun. It's really cool. And the fact that it'll take you so long to go through it, and then you're going to want to speed run it, it's an experience not to be missed on the new Nintendo 3DS. So, I guess with kind of that out of the way, like I said, big thank you to Nintendo for sending that out to me. I guess let's kind of keep talking about Nintendo, because I know, Alex, you've got a story for us.
Yeah, you know how successful the NES Classic and SNES Classic have been. It's actually hard to measure, considering people still can't find the SNES Classic. Because it's just been so sold out everywhere, right? Well, there's rumors going around, and there's been some trademarks filed for a potential Game Boy Classic, which could be interesting. I mean, it does make sense that they would do that. Now, I would wonder if it would just be Game Boy and Game Boy Color, or would they throw the Advance in there at all? It would probably be Game Boy and Game Boy Color games, because that just seems to be... They want to sort of split things up into multiple editions. That way they could get more money by making an Advance in the future or something like that.
Because
It was basically a trademark bot that found that they had been filing the trademark for it. So they could be doing it just based out of trying to hold the copyright on it. But there's apparently a design out there for using the original case. Now... It is possible to do something that even, you know, in that form factor is even more powerful, because people have, you know, done their own homebrew systems out of Raspberry Pis and made them into Game Boy cases and that sort of thing. Now, they may be trying to quell that before, a larger Chinese company comes out and makes clones or something themselves. So they may just be copywriting the design on purpose. So, because the word Classic Edition hasn't appeared in the copyright claim yet. But this is the same thing. This is the same thing that they did with the SNES. It didn't have the word Classic in it, but they had still copyrighted the exact same thing about a year before announcing it.
See, I'm looking forward to this, and I'm not. I gotta say, I'm not surprised Nintendo's making a Game Boy Classic, but I kind of wonder why they're not doing the N64 Classic first.
N64 is a much, much more complicated system to emulate. Based just the fact that it's a 64-bit processor, but it's just it was a notoriously difficult system to program for, and even people in like the emulation field, you know, people have been emulating the system for years on PC. Well, there still wasn't really a good working version until like 4 or 5 years ago, in the fact that it'd been out for 10 years in emulation. So it's just basically how things work in emulation. You need a system, even if the system was like the regular Nintendo, where it was like 4 megahertz. You'll need something literally in the tens of thousands of times more powerful just to emulate it perfect. So we're at a point now where you can buy a Android computer chip, which is basically all the NES Classic is, that is powerful enough to run that really old technology at 100% accuracy for, you know, a manufacturing cost of, let's say, $20. But to do that for the N64, you're in the realm of having to have, like, an Intel quad-core CPU. Because even the high-end, like, Raspberry Pis and those homebrew computers, they're not powerful enough to run the games. So it's just, they're probably holding off because they can't reuse the design that they used on the SNES Classic and the NES Classic.
So we might see it in, like, maybe a year or two.
Yeah, depending. They may be taking a year because they'll have to design a new chip. Because you've seen the teardowns probably of the SNES Classic, and now it's the exact same board as the NES Classic. So they built that one with the purpose of being able to run 8 and 16-bit software. So they built it for 2 or 3 years worth of generations of software. And then they're going to have to wait probably until they recoup some more money and then put into this new board. If they're going to emulate the N64 at that point, they may as well already make it powerful enough to emulate the GameCube.
Because that's got my attention.
As a bit of a side note, what would be stopping them from exploring the Sega angle of things? Since they basically own Sega, could they come out with some sort of Sega Classic system?
Well, technically, no. There already is one, technically.
Sega has a deal with At Games, which is a Chinese producer. They've been the ones putting out those Atari flashbacks for years. Now, they've been notorious for making cheap hardware that doesn't really work or has emulation issues. Apparently, they have a new one coming out that has HDMI out. Has all those built-in games the exact same as the NES Classic, but I believe it also has an SD card slot where you can load your own ROMs for free, and they're openly saying you can do that, which is very against what Nintendo does. Nintendo is very anti-ROM, anti-piracy, that sort of stuff. Whereas Sega's like, well, we're not really a company anymore, so they don't care. And they also come with the slot so you can play your Genesis games directly in it. Because their argument is, do whatever you want. Nintendo's argument is, if we put a slot in there for you to play original games, it means we have to provide support for the original games. So it's two different methodologies and two different ways of thinking. So you would be more likely to find Nintendo put out something like a TurboGrafx Classic, because nobody's done that yet, and they could easily contact Hudson Soft or somebody and license it. If they were
I can't say there being much of a demand, though, for a Turbo Classic.
No, it would be a niche market. It would have to be, you know, it would have to be something, that would be more something along the lines that the At Games company would come up with. But
at the same time, I feel like it would belong more on a virtual console situation. They've been good with the virtual consoles in the past. I know TurboGrafx games found themselves on the Wii, the original Wii's.
And that's why I was suggesting it, is because they already have that relationship with them. They could possibly do it. Like, if they... The technology in the SNES Classic and the NES Classic could easily run that already, so they could just do that if they wanted to blow it out and make it cheap. Because there really isn't another competitor that could do it. Like, Sony's not going to do that. Sony is content to just sell you individual games when they re-release them for the PS3 and PS4.
Now, there is talk of... Now, there's this really cool Kickstarter, and I think it's funded, but I'm not sure. It's called the CD... And it's a console that can play everything from Sega CD games all the way up to, I think, PS1 Dreamcast games. I think Dreamcast, as far as it goes, but I know it'll definitely play PS1.
It's a Raspberry Pi that they put a custom operating system on and put it in a different case.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's one of the systems dedicated to playing CD-based games.
Oh, because, so it has the drive built in, so...
Yes, because no other...
That's a smart way to do it.
Yeah, because no other... Right now, it's all ROMs. This one wants you to have the original games.
Yeah,
because disk rot is a very big thing, too. Which is not something a lot of people actually talk about, because we're going to lose some of these games as we move forward. I mean, I'd love to play a version of Police Knots or Snatcher, but no one's released the ROM, or no one has... I have no legal way to play it outside of buying the original thing, and those games are ludicrously expensive.
Exactly. Like there's stuff from Working Designs, the RPG company that put out Lunar back in the 90s. Their first couple games were on the TurboGrafx, and when I was collecting all my systems, I had TurboGrafx.
The Legacy of Yeez, right?
They had that, but they also had Cosmic Fantasy 2. They only released the second game in the series, but it was the first RPG released, like Japanese RPG released, on a CD system, but it was the TurboGrafx CD. So imagine trying to hunt down a working TurboGrafx. Then a TurboGrafx CD add-on for it. The game, I surprisingly found, somebody must have had, they had a box of like 30 of them. It must have been in the back of a store, and it was on it was on eBay for like 10 bucks each. So I bought a couple and then ended up making like 100 bucks off of them because they were so rare that, you know, the guy had no idea what he had. But those games, so you got to track down a game, it's going to cost you about 150 bucks. You got to track down a system, it's going to cost you 100 bucks if it works. Then you got to track down a CD add-on for the system, and the CD add-on will be about 300 bucks, and that's if it works, which the hardware from then doesn't always work. And then you got to hope that you can plug it into an old TV and play it. So you're looking at like $600 to legally be being able to play a really rare Japanese RPG that was released in English. Or you just hope that these companies end up putting them out legally, or you have to pirate it. That's really your only option. So I think Nintendo and other companies are starting to really catch on and realize that they have two choices. One, somebody can pirate it and they make no money. or two, they can put it out and make money.
Mm. Now, kind of keeping things moving along with this particular kind of train of thought here, I'm actually going to throw it to an interview I did with Bandai Namco, with Cyrus over there. And this is a company that recognizes there's money to be made from bringing over import games, so they can make the money rather than having people pirate it or maybe just importing it through a different way. No, they actually get, these guys actually brought over Gundam Versus to the West, fully translated, just not the voices, but the game itself completely there with English. So I'm going to throw things over to myself and Cyrus, and we'll talk a little bit about Gundam Versus right after this special interview that I did with Bandai Namco.
Hey guys, it is I, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and if you're listening to this, it's the Nerd News Network. Aren't you excited? I'm excited. And hey, something you should be excited about is new video games. And it is new release day, or soon to be thereof, and a game that I'm hoping to get my hands on probably in the next couple of hours, days, or if I don't have it already, I will get it. Mark my words. We're going to be talking with Cyrus Wesson. He's one of the people over at Bandai Namco. I think he's the social media guy working on Gundam Versus. This is a game I've been tremendously excited for since seeing the trailer this past summer. I've been a huge fan of the Gundam franchise since I was a child. I grew up on Gundam Wing. I had some of the toys. I've built some of the models. I've thrown one of the models across the room because I couldn't figure it out. But still, I love this franchise. I've been a huge supporter of it for a very long time, and I figure Gundam Versus combines video games, giant robots, and fighting, some of my favorite activities in the entire world. So without any further ado, let's welcome Cyrus to the show. Cyrus, welcome to This Week in Geek.
Hey, Mike. Nice to meet you. Happy to be here. Thanks for bringing me on to talk about this awesome game, Gundam Versus.
I gotta say, it's really cool to get a new Gundam game on the system, and one that's coming out here in the West. That's exciting, because we haven't had a Gundam game come out in the West in quite some time, right?
Yeah, usually they're all ported over, because Japan always gets them first, but this one was the game that we built up from the ground up for the PS4. So we're just really excited for fans to get their hands on this, because the battle system, the mobile suit selection that you can use is just off the chart.
Now, speaking of the kind of mobile suits, as I was mentioning, I'm mostly familiar with Gundam Wing. I've seen some of the original series from 1979. How many eras of mobile suits will we have access to in Gundam Versus?
I will let you know that there are 17 eras, franchises, series that are going to be included at the start of the game, and that includes 94 different mobile suits, as well as if you were able to pre-order, you'll get an additional 3 suits, one of which is not available for DLC, and that's Cock Scramble. So it spans a large, large range of different series and different just epics from the Gundam franchise.
I gotta say, that's an incredible amount of characters. I mean, especially for a fighting game. I mean, I think the biggest roster I've ever seen was like, I think Marvel versus Capcom 2 or something like that. This is ridiculous. 94 different mobile suits and more to come.
Yeah, more to come. We're really excited to, you know, we've heard the fans, we've heard what you guys want, and so we're working to get as many of those mobile suits into the game as possible. You know, Gundam Versus has been going on for 15 years now in Japan, and each one of those games has a large roster of mobile suits, anywhere from 30 to 100, really. But this one, we're just really excited because it's been built up from the ground up for the PS4. You're able to connect with your mobile suit in so many different ways, and there are so many different styles for which characters you want to use or which mobile suits you want to use. So it's a really great game.
Now, the fact that you guys have listened to the fans in the West to bring this over, you guys even showed this off at Evo this past summer. What has the response been like from the fighting game community? Because they're some of the most vocal communities out there in gaming.
Yeah. The fighting game community has been really, really supportive, actually. I think that they've wanted kind of as much support for a long time now. So when we brought it over to Evo, we did a little tournament out there. There were so many different players that came, newcomers as well as some gamers who have been playing the Gundam franchise, the Gundam Versus franchise, for a long time, where they've been porting the game over from Japan. They've had these, you know, all the language was in Japanese, so they had to learn Japanese or go into Google and translate all of the different text in order to find out what was going on. But there's actually a really, really solid community out here of really great players. So it was awesome to see that at Evo.
I gotta say, that's something I find really special. When people find a franchise they latch onto, they're willing to learn a new language. I mean, I myself right now, I'm really into the Kamen Rider stuff, so I'm learning some Japanese so I can enjoy the series. And the fact that video game players are doing the same thing for a video game series, that's kind of a cool educational crossover, I've got to say. It's really something special to see people do that, isn't it?
Yeah, it shows just how passionate these fans are and gamers really are, because, you know, games is such a... At Bandai Namco, we're all about playing anime, right? We're all about using anime and as this cornerstone, but being able to jump into these franchises that you've loved so much since you were a kid. And so there are so many different other people out there who are so excited about jumping into Gundam and reliving that experience. And the fact that you can relive any one of those 17 different series with any one of those 94 different mobile suits is just awesome. But I did want to say that what we're really excited about is the competitive scene, because, as you know, Gundam Versus is very much a 2v2 fighting game. So when we bring this here, we really want to see what people are going to go online with, what mobile suits they're going to use, what teams, what rivals they're going to be fighting against. You can get all your friends together and do a 3v3 game as well, which is a new addition. So we're just really excited to bring this here and see what the reception is like.
I was actually talking with like one of my co-hosts, Alex, before the interview this morning, and we got talking. We're like, say, well, dude, who do you want to play? And my heart has always belonged to the Lightning Count and his Tall Geese from Gundam Wing. And I'm like, dude, you've got to play Epion. I'll play Tall Geese 2 or Tall Geese 1, and we just got to wreck people. And he's like, I don't know, man. So we are so excited for this. So if people wanted to pick this up, where would they have to go?
They can go anywhere from your major retailers, right? Amazon, Best Buy, as well as the Bandai Namco store. But also you can go on to PlayStation and buy it there. So I know that when people do buy this game, I want people to know that when this game comes out, you should tell your friends about it. You should jump on it with your friends so that you all can play together online and, you know, kick some butt around.
Guys, you've heard it here. Cyrus is excited. I'm legitimately excited. So if you happen to see me online, it is Birdman Dodd on the PS4 network. Come challenge me and my Tall Geese too. Me and Trays will be waiting for you. If not, maybe me and Zex Marquise. Either way, a Tall Geese is going to be kicking your ass across the PSN. So anyway, guys, I'm going to throw things back to us here on the Nerd News Network, and it's going to be me, Alex, and perhaps Tristan and his busted kneecap. We'll be back, guys, right after this, only on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Introducing Ace on guitar. Buddy on bass. And DJ on drums. Yeah.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Bandai Namco from Mike.
Yeah, I gotta say, I actually had a lot of fun talking with him. He actually really got me excited to play the game. We actually finally got the game a couple of days ago, just because we had a delay with the shipping, with the holiday, plus with all the craziness going on in the U.S. right now, I imagine. It's just one of those things. But, man, if there ever was a game that'll make you feel humble, holy crap, it is this game. The Japanese players, they don't fuck around. I've had a chance to play this online with my tall geese and my heavy arms, which are from the series Gundam Wing. Yeah, I had my ass handed to me on a platter. But the cool thing about Japanese fighting games is the more effort you put into learning the little nuances, the better you'll be. It rewards practice. It rewards dedication. And I really like that, because there is no story mode to speak of. It's basically a series of escalating battles and trials that you can go through. But I do like the fact that I do like how it's set up. Like, it's usually 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 battles. You can do 1-on-1. I'm not bad 1-on-1 when I can get the upper hand. But it's getting that, because there's different types of Gundams. Some of them are strikers, which are like melee combat. Others are shooting type, which is the I prefer, which the Gundam Heavy Arms from Gundam Wing is very much pretty much a Gundam that's made out of a walking gun. But no, it's a really cool game. But if you're going to play it, know exactly what you're getting into. I highly recommend, if you can borrow this game first, give it a try. Like, borrow it from either Gamefly or Game Access. Or if you've got a friend that has it, try before you buy, because this game will punish you if you think you're going to walk in there and own it like, say, Dynasty Warriors. It will humble you quite quickly.
So for a button masher like me, I might find myself quite humbled.
You're going to get fed, and you're going to get fed hard, embarrassingly so. But if you find the right mobile suit that you love, and you're willing to take the time to learn it, then it is such a rewarding experience when you can beat the crap out of a Gundam you know is better than you, and you just get him down to that last sliver of health, and it says you win. That is a rewarding feeling.
So it gives you like a full-on mecha boner.
Pretty much. If you're willing to put the time and effort into it, it does reward you for that. But if you're just a button masher and you don't come in with any sort of real strategy, it's going to humble you. So on to things that make us less angry. What else do we got, boys? Or actually, Tristan, you've got some stuff involving Blizzard, don't you?
I do. Like I mentioned earlier, I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft lately to fill in the time. And World of Warcraft and Blizzard Entertainment in general has kind of owned a lot of my free time in the last 20 years of my life. I've been playing all of their properties for as long as I can remember. And we are coming up to yet another BlizzCon. It's happening at the very start of November. And anyone who's been following along with it might know already that there is a bit of an announcement with World of Warcraft coming up. Their next expansion is due to be unveiled at BlizzCon. There was a year-in-review interview with game director Ian Hazakostas, who confirmed that what's next will be coming up at BlizzCon. It is basically the first thing they're going to show you right after the opening ceremonies. There is a calendar of events happening. It's available right now. They have a bit of news for pretty much all of their properties. Overwatch has a gigantic loot box they're going to put up on the stage. I don't know exactly what that's supposed to be about, but I guess we're going to have to wait and see. So they're trying to build up a bit of hype for that. In the meantime, Overwatch just started their Halloween event. So if you're an Overwatch player, it's worth hopping on for the next couple of weeks, getting some new loot, some new skins, seeing what's up with that. Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone, StarCraft, pretty much all of their properties there are getting more what's next at this BlizzCon. I don't really have a lot of details as to what. They haven't been previewing much. There hasn't been too many hints dropped. As for Diablo, and Diablo is my favorite Blizzard property, absolutely nothing. They've confirmed there is no news, there are no events, there is nothing at this BlizzCon. They might have a couple very small Q&A sessions with some of the developers there, but there's absolutely no news for Diablo fans. It is unfortunate. Diablo 3 has pretty much reached the end of its development cycle. It is at end of life now. It had its Rise of the Necromancer pack come out a few months ago. That's gone fairly well, but more or less Diablo is over for now. We're hoping, us Diablo fans are hoping, that the resources they had in Diablo 3 have been moved on to other Diablo projects, like a Diablo 2 remaster, which could happen. We've seen the StarCraft remaster come out recently, so Diablo 2 might be in the works later on, or perhaps even Diablo 4 or some sort of other Diablo-based property. So that's it for Diablo. That's it for most of the actual Blizzard properties. And of course, later on this month in October, Blizzard is hosting the Bungie release on PC of Destiny 2. So I'm sure there'll be a little bit of chatter at BlizzCon about Destiny 2 and how that starts off as well. I'm excited to see that. I have that game pre-ordered. I've been really good at avoiding spoilers for that one from its launch on consoles already. So please don't ruin it for me.
Me and Alex are still working on going through the story for Destiny 2, but I'm almost at the end, though.
Indeed, you're a little bit ahead of me, but I'm taking my time just to take everything in.
I'm farming for engrams and gear.
sneak peek into my opinion on it. I like it a lot more than I like the original.
I have thoroughly enjoyed the original, too. My PS4 is actually a Destiny Edition PS4, so I like Destiny. And the first one was fun. I know it had its problems early on. I kind of hopped on a little bit late. So I'm excited to see Destiny 2 being even better.
I got the original at launch, and it left a lot to be desired in the storytelling and just the feel of the environment for me. And in the first, 5 hours of play in this game, it's completely better.
Absolutely. I would completely agree with that. Tristan, on the kind of Blizzard front, is there any news what they're going to do with StarCraft next? Or
StarCraft, there is a panel for, it's called StarCraft, What's Next? So they're going to look into what could be coming up with the StarCraft franchise. StarCraft 2 as a whole, the expansion cycle has finished with that, but they've been releasing content, little bits and pieces of stuff you could buy and download for that client for quite some time now. They've been pretty active on that. Unfortunately, the StarCraft community is a lot smaller than it used to be. Thankfully, the StarCraft Remastered that came out recently has brought back some people, including Day9, one of my favorite people out there in the community. Day9 is back on the StarCraft train, so it's fun to see him doing some stuff again. So it's bringing more attention back to StarCraft. Hopefully, BlizzCon will have some exciting announcements, but there has not been any hints dropped as to what it might be.
I'll probably follow some of the BlizzCon stuff because I'm big into Overwatch. I actually need to check, see if there's any new skins for my lady Sombra, because she's one of my mains. Oh,
she has an epic skin. It is exciting as all hell. She's basically a dragon.
Okay, we're going to drop $20 on this after the show's over.
Zenyatta has a Cthulhu skin.
That's very cool. Too bad.
You'd appreciate that.
Stop telling him these things.
How can I not like mention it. The Cthulhu skin for Mike here?
Although I'm really sad, when the summer event came around, I didn't get the Sombra skin, and that's the only one that I wanted, was her in her scuba gear, because I thought it looked cool. By the way, for those of you that want to play with us, me, Alex, and Tristan, we all have PlayStation 4, so message us in our just messages across social media. I'm at Birdman Dodd, he's at Mr. Christopher, Alex is at Gravy Moose. Let us know. We would love to play with fans. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I play on PS4 and PC, so shoot me a message and we'll get playing.
So I've got another story for you guys. This past weekend was a limited one-day-only event meant to celebrate the multiverse of Rick and Morty, and McDonald's decided to, for one day only, we're going to bring back Szechuan sauce. As you know, during the Season 3 opener, it was Rick's quest. That was his series arc, was to get that Szechuan sauce, because it's delicious. And for some, they got some. McDonald's had it set up so each participating restaurants were going to get so much Szechuan sauce, and they were going to get a poster to commemorate the event. This should have went really well. McDonald's couldn't screw this up at all, could they?
Of course they could.
Oh, they fucked it up large. And here's how. They sent 20 packets or less to certain locations, less than 10 posters. There were lines around buildings. There were there was a line of over 1,000 people at one Los Angeles location. There's a video up on Twitter where you can hear a crowd chanting, "We want sauce." The cops were called. Many, many fights broke out. There's another video on Twitter of a guy jumping up on the counter, shouting, "I'm Pickle Rick," and freaking out over it, and running around on the floor like Morty. It's ridiculous. Now, Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland came out on Twitter saying, "You know what? We had nothing to do with this. Don't treat the employees like shit. It's not their fault." But McDonald's totally dropped the ball on this one. So the other day, as of Sunday, they actually issued an apology to the fandom of Rick and Morty, saying, "Hey guys, we heard you. We're sorry. We get the impression what we did was not cool. So here's what we're going to do. Later on this winter, every location will get Szechuan sauce for not a limited time, but we're going to do our best to make things right to you. So stay tuned, and we'll have more information in the coming months." So my guess is you might see Szechuan sauce back for at least a couple of months, depending.
If it's really successful, they should bring it out in stores like they did with the Mac sauce this year.
I think that would be a wonderful idea. I mean, just test the market. See if it's there. I mean, the Mac sauce, I'm sure someone will yell at me, but I like it on my sandwiches. I have a container of Mac sauce in my fridge. I put just like a tablespoon on my sandwiches. Szechuan sauce would be nice to have as a glaze for a chicken or something like that.
Yeah, because the McChicken sauce was hit or miss, depending on the vat you got. The fish sauce I didn't even bother with because it's just normal tartar sauce, but like the actual Big Mac sauce was pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. So stuff like that. I mean, I think McDonald's had such an opportunity here, and even Dan Harmon had said, "Well, if your legal team doesn't see any problem with this, then neither does mine." Basically acknowledging McDonald's being, you know, if we wanted to sue you, we probably could. So it's nice to see that Roiland and Harmon have a big sense of humor about this, but this almost seems like a plot line ripped right out of the show, because there were almost near riots. There's even rumors of a stabbing over McNugget sauce, if you can believe that.
I gotta have that McNugget Mulan Szechuan sauce. I gotta have it.
Yeah. Oh, Morty, I'm gonna stab people. It's ridiculous how much people went nuts for it. So, speaking of stuff that people went nuts for, yet another Mike Dodd transition. I'm actually gonna throw to an interview that I did with the good folks over at Jolt Cola. It's not as super limited as Szechuan sauce, but you're going to want to hunt this down. So we'll be back right after my interview with Catherine from Jolt Cola.
My BLT drive on my computer just went AWOL, and I got this big project due tomorrow. If I don't get it in, he's going to ask me to commit Harry Carey.
Welcome back to the Nerd News Network. I'm one of your many hosts today, Mike the Birdman Dodd. And as always, I have a very special guest online. I'm talking with Catherine Lyons. She's a representative from one of my favorite soft drinks as a child, high schooler, and even into my college years. I'm talking about Jolt Cola, which has made a mysterious resurrection in the last couple of weeks to store shelves across America and potentially Canada. So let's talk with Catherine right now. Catherine, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing fantastic, Mike. How are you?
I am doing really, really well, because who the hell saw this coming? Jolt Cola's back after so many years gone?
The energy drink god saw it, of course.
Well, I gotta say, it's something I did not expect. I was watching my social media, which I often do, and I was watching Facebook, and I just saw a Facebook post one day pop up saying, "We're coming back," and I just thought it was like a fan page that someone had run, and then the post kept getting more and more frequent, and then suddenly you guys start showing up at, I think, Dollar Generals in the last couple of weeks, and people are looking for this stuff.
Yeah, you know, this was a comeback that was long overdue. I think we as a society are really embracing nostalgia right now. You've seen a few things come back already, and, you know, why not Jolt? We've been receiving a lot of positive feedback and warm welcomes, so it makes it easier and a lot more enjoyable to know that people are so receptive.
I mean, the last time I had Jolt Cola is when I was in college back in 2007, when me and my buddies were working back on the television side of things, building sets, and we'd be up really late at night. We'd go buy the giant battery cans of Jolt Cola. But you guys have changed the look of the cans now to be something more traditional.
Yeah, we went back to the classic look. I think the battery can and the recipe that was involved with that caused a little loss of interest. So we wanted to go back to the original recipe and back to everything that, you know, consumers loved about Jolt to begin with.
I mean, you had mentioned original kind of recipe, so this is probably something closer to that would have been found in the 90s, correct?
Yeah, this is, we're looking at, you know, all the sugar that we once had and twice the caffeine, so we're sticking to that original formula.
I gotta say, when you guys sent me the media kit for this, very happily there was a single can inside, and I had it chilling for probably about 7 or 8 hours, and I decided, okay, if I'm gonna crack this, I gotta do it in the right environment, and that means I have to do something fairly 90s, fairly geeky, fairly, you know, something up my alley. So me and my buddies always have a weekly Dungeons and Dragons game. So I cracked it with them. Wish I had more to share, but I'm like, no, mine, Game Master.
At least you had one.
Exactly. And it was totally worth it. So I guess one of my questions is, what has the response been like from the community been like so far?
Overwhelmingly enthusiastic. You know, we're excited to bring it back and everybody's been excited to have it back. Which, like I said, just makes it all the better when you have a community, you know, the gamers, the hackers, the, you know, night owls that once basically lived off this, to bring that back to them and to expand it beyond that community is just really exciting, and everyone feels the same way.
Now, speaking of community, now, a lot of energy drink people nowadays are involved in things like esports or sporting events. Will Jolt Cola be getting involved into the esports scene, perhaps?
We definitely want to expand to, you know, different consumers and as many consumers as we can. There's always the opportunity for that, and we're definitely not ruling anything out.
Gotta say, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing certain events brought to you by Jolt Cola. Now, one of the things I have to ask before we begin to close this out, now, I live in Canada. Within about 2 hours of a border crossing,
yeah.
Is there a possibility of Jolt Cola coming back to Canada?
We definitely want to. We're discussing that right now. We want to, you know, expand distribution, and we are trying to do that as much as we can. So hopefully we'll have some good news on that soon.
I gotta say, I'm looking forward to having Jolt Cola back in my life because, like I said, it powered me throughout high school, and hopefully it will power many, many hours of Dungeon Delves with me and my compatriots on Friday nights.
Mike, it is more than happy to welcome you back with open arms, so the feeling is mutual.
All right, guys, that was my interview with Catherine Lund, one of the spokespeople over at Jolt Cola. Like I said, really looking forward to getting this stuff back in the hands of gamers, hackers, and nerds everywhere. Now, if you want to find this stuff, you got to go to Dollar General and look in the Valley of Value, not in the soft drink section. That's where this stuff is typically being held right now. So you can call ahead. I think you can even order it on the website. I'm not 100% sure about that, but still, look around. This stuff is available. Look everywhere you can. Now, hopefully us Canadians will have some more news about this as the weeks and months and days go forward. We will be sipping Jolt Cola, rolling dice, staying up all night playing Gears of War. It's going to be a good time. Now to throw things back to me, Alex, and Tristan, right here on the Nerd News Network.
That was electrifying, Michael.
Oh my god, I just can't believe it's back. 10 years I've waited. And I wish I could have shared some with like you guys on Friday night, but...
Oh, you could have, but you wouldn't.
My precious. It was good, though. And I gotta say, that's cool. The fact that they're looking into distribution in the Canada... I'm definitely happy. However, though, that being said, my weight loss surgery is coming up. I won't be able to have the damn stuff.
Nope, not for the first few months afterwards, that's for sure. And for at least 2 months beforehand.
Yep, so they picked a hell of a... You know what? At least they're doing it now and not right when I'm having it, so it could be worse.
You should have asked them if they would come out with caffeine-free Jolt, just to make the universe implode.
Like, we are not prepared for this sorcery. But no, they were really, 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 really good sports. They actually sent me a media kit for it. I gave one of my shirts away. I've got the Jolt Cola branded sunglasses now. I have these really cool Jolt Cola branded socks and a classic Jolt Cola sticker, which if you're a child of the 90s, belongs either on a refrigerator or a laptop. So that'll probably go on the Dice Warriors laptop that we record here at the house with.
Which is often fueled by caffeine.
Oh my god, I live on G Fuel whenever we record, so... Still, Jolt Cola. My god, I was so happy. Not so happy about the sugar content, but so happy about the caffeine content in a pop. So, I'm excited. So, what do we got for our last stories, guys?
I'll have a couple little quick things here, just sort of an update on, you know, me and my television collections and things. I always like to look on TV shows on DVD.com to see what's coming up, because it's really the definitive website for any releases coming out. I've got three little ones coming up soon. Letterkenny, I know it's a show that you like, right?
Oh, love it.
Season 1 has been officially announced to be released on DVD. It's actually going to get a release in the States as well, which will be the first time that it's ever coming out there. MSRP of $22.99. It's coming out November 21st. Just based on looking at the Amazon.ca link for it, it's heavily discounted to $17.50. So I would say give it a try, because I think it looks like it's going to be a single disc, because it's a half-hour show that's, I think, 6 episodes for the first season.
Yep.
So we've got that coming out from, I believe it's, what is it, Universal's putting it out? Yeah, I think Universal's putting it out in the States. Then back into the territory that you know me, that I like, the terrible, well, not necessarily terrible, but those shows, the sci-fi shows that lasted either a season or two randomly, you know, from the 70s to the 90s, we've got Super Force coming out. Super Force, I guess the best way to describe it is... read the synopsis here. A high-impact special effects-filled sci-fi adventure, The Time, The Near Future. Astronaut Zach Stone returns from a heroic Mars mission to find his brother murdered and his country losing its battle against rampant violence, corruption, and anarchy. Determined to avenge his brother's death and fight back against the mounting tide of barbarism, Stone transforms himself into the ultra-high-tech one-man vigilante army. The Super Force, equipped with invincibility body armor and an awesome arsenal of futuristic weaponry, he wages an apocalyptic inner-city war against the sinister conspiracy led by the inscrutably evil Tau Ceti. VEI, the Visual Entertainment Incorporated, is a Toronto-based DVD producer and distributor. They've been putting out... they put out things like Martial Law, a lot of 90s and 80s TV shows. Think of them as, I guess they'd be like Shout Factory North. You know, they handle some stuff. They handle, basically, if it's a cool, weird show that had at least one or two seasons, that Shout Factory doesn't have the rights to, they basically buy it up and put it out. So they've got Super Force coming out, actually, this Thursday, looks like. And you can buy it from their website, or just check it out on TVshowsOnDVD.com. And then, similarly, it looks like the same day is Special Unit 2. I don't know if you remember that show, Michael. But
what was it called again, sorry?
Special Unit 2.
No, can't say
I
do.
Ran on UPN. I think Blanchard would know this one. top secret division of the Chicago Police Department. You should know them. is tasked with hunting down threatening supernatural creatures known as Lynx. It's harrowing, laborious, and perilous job chasing monsters, folklore, and mythological creatures. It's basically UPN's answer to the X-Files.
Interesting.
So it would be worth checking out. Again, it's one of those shows that lasted, I think, one or two seasons. People have been looking for it for years. So that's finally coming out now. As far as distributing it in the States, I believe you can buy it from Amazon.com or from their website directly. So far, no Amazon.ca links for it, even though it's a Canadian company. But you can buy it on their website. I just believe it's, what is it? Visualentertainment.tv. Cool stuff.
So I guess that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network. Big thank you to everybody who is able to participate into the show. Like I said, big thanks to Cyrus from Bandai Namco and Catherine from over at Jolt Cola and Nintendo for supplying me with a review code for Metroid Samus Returns. So hopefully you guys will tune in next week, as next week is actually my birthday week. So I turned the grand old title of 36. What's that mean? I don't know. Nothing, I guess.
Does that make
I'm
you...
4 years closer to a midlife crisis.
Are you, like, in the DILF category?
Yes.
Dads, I'd close like to enough. Fuck. Is that a thing?
I mean, Dodds.
Dod bod.
Dod. Well, you already too. Have Dod bod.
Yeah, you too could look like Jabba the Hutt. Anyway, on that pleasant note, we're going to kick things out of here. So hopefully next week I will have, I should have an extended review of South Park, The Fractured Butthole in like a week, week and a half at the latest. So be staying tuned for that on thisweekingeek.net. So you'll also hear me on Future Imperfect and Altered Geek in the next couple of weeks. I'm coming back on those shows fairly large as Alex has been my connection to check out Star Trek Discovery and the Orville. So we'll be talking about those at some point. And like I said, stay tuned to TerribleWarriors.com. We should have something fairly big coming out this Friday. So until next time, gentlemen, we have been...
Mr. Christopher.
Alex, the producer.
I've been Mike, the Birdman Dodd, saying live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Talk about the pony cum jars.
No!
No?
No!